Seeing Jesus. That's a sermon series that we are in. We've twice before talked about seeing Jesus and hearing Jesus and how important He is to us and how we can take Him for granted and Him just be a name, kind of a story, an idea, an image, but not have the depth of truth that God has for us. When we look at who Jesus is, I believe that every time we look at a story in the Bible or the words of Jesus, that there is what God lays out for us to see, and there's also a deeper truth about God and about how God wants to relate to us. I think there's so much that we all can learn as we look to Jesus. And what we learn from Him and see from Him, fully God, fully man, living before us the experiences of emotions and decisions and pressures and pain and problems. When we look to Jesus, He has something to teach us about all those things. We have much to learn as we look at Jesus. This morning particularly, I'd like to turn to the story of the temptation of Jesus and look at some things that I believe Jesus teaches us and helps us to understand about God and about us and who we are and how we operate and how we function. I believe that first there is the reality that we must be willing to consider the reality of the existence of Satan. In the story of the temptation of Jesus, there is a reality, if we stop long enough to read it and hear it and think about it, of the reality of a being that exists, that has a very specific intention and purpose. And when we read the story of Jesus' temptation, we see that reality so absolutely clearly. Satan, or the devil, is a created being. He's a fallen angel. He has certain abilities. He has certain limitations. I don't have any desire today to sensationalize Satan in this story or to say things about Satan that really are not true and are not in the Bible. There's a lot of speculation about Satan and how he operates. Some of it might be true and some might be not. And there's so many things that we could say about the existence of Satan and many scriptures that I don't have time to look at today, but I've chosen some. And I want to talk about the reality of who Satan is. I want you to know that he is the father of lies. The first thing I think about when I think about people that are drawn away by Satan is they are simply deceived by Satan's lies. He is the father of lies. And so every time we read a scripture about him and what he says or what he does, I remember and I'm reminded of the reality of the truth that Satan is a being that absolutely is the father of deception. And he will deceive, he will lie to, he will confuse every one of us if we allow him to do that. He's also described by many words in the scriptures. He's described as the destroyer, the adversary, the enemy, the tempter, and many others. And we are wise to know what is true and what is not about Satan and what his attempts are in our lives. We are at risk when we take him too lightly, when we don't really know what his purposes and his plans are, then we run the higher risk of being tripped up by him. On the other hand, it's important not to believe things about Satan that aren't true, because that also can trip us up. And with all the voices out there and books that you can read and movies that you can watch and ideas that people have about Satan, there's a whole lot about Satan that you can you can get confused about if you believe the wrong things. So I want to say it's important that you believe the right things about Satan and you don't believe the wrong things. If Hollywood is your viewing screen, you may be quite misled in a number of ways about who Satan is. He's portrayed in Hollywood in many ways. He's portrayed as a joke. He's portrayed as an all-powerful villain. He's portrayed as being everywhere at once and having all knowledge, which is not true. He's laughed at. He's plagiarized. He's minimized. He's exaggerated. He's trifled with. Mostly from people that don't believe he exists. But it's good to know what the Bible says about who Satan is. His time is coming to an end. That scripture that I read at the beginning of the service has some clues in it about that. Somehow in the past, somehow in God's eternity, outside of human time, God dealt with Satan. He cast him out of heaven. And yet he allowed him. I didn't continue to read in that scripture, but there's more in Revelation chapter 12 that warns us, woe to the people on earth when Satan is cast out to the earth. God warned us from the beginning that Satan would try to destroy us. His time is coming to an end. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. I want you to know that right here in this service, on this day, Satan is able to roam around and pick at your mind and your heart. I don't know how often he does that for every person. I don't believe it's continuous. It doesn't seem to be from all the examples we have of Satan in the scriptures, but he's roaming around. He's capable of roaming. And I have to believe that he's capable of finding his way into every person's life and trying to lead them astray. He's capable of doing that in this building too. And when we go home and at work and every other place. And so we need to be watching and alert about him. Let's turn to the story. Luke chapter 4. I chose Luke's gospel. We could read the story for many of the gospels, but Luke chapter 4. Listen to the temptation of Jesus. And then I want to talk more about Satan in the story and Jesus in the story. Chapter 4, verse 1 says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will be all yours. Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from there, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, it says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And listen to verse 13. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. There's so much that we can look at in this story. There's a whole lot of truth and ideas and points that we could look at. I notice, first of all, in verse 1, in the very first part of the story, that Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. We know that he was filled with the Spirit at baptism, which is a story before that. We rejoiced a couple of weeks ago. We looked at that story and the wonder of Jesus' baptism and the voice of the Father that said, "This is my Son, whom I love, in him I am well pleased." What a great day that was. What an amazing day. He was filled with the Spirit on that day. The Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove and rested on him. It was a wonderful day. He was full of the Holy Spirit. But I want to also remind us today that though full of the Holy Spirit, he was still tempted fully by Satan. We never get to the point in our lives that we can say that Satan will not tempt us. If you've been a Christian for a long time, so thankful for that. And I hope you have built up the defenses that you need, because Satan will attack you in your old age. Satan will attack you in your youth. And he has different things at different ages and different places to attack all of us. He will try to find that place in your life that you're vulnerable, and he will come after you. And it may change over time. It may be certain weaknesses or desires or good things that you want in your life. As I prayed earlier, it may be pain in your life. It may be loneliness. It may be because of brokenness that's a part of your life. And Satan knows that he has an opening to come and to place in your heart and your life certain temptations that will be very hard for you. We also know that Satan has limited power and knowledge. For the reasons that I can't explain, God has allowed Satan for a time to have certain abilities to wreak havoc on humanity. And so God's allowed a limited knowledge that Satan has. Even in this story, we can see that Satan knew some things. He lied about some things. He told the truth about some things. Satan is a very mixed deceiver. And he knows some things, but his knowledge is limited. God has allowed that. He knew that Jesus was in the desert. He just knew that. He knew that the Spirit had led Jesus into the desert. He knew where he could find him. Satan, I believe, knows where he can find us. He knows where it is, where we're at, emotionally, physically, in presence, in circumstances, in things around us. He knows where to find us. Satan knew where to find Jesus. He thought, or maybe it was his best attempt to find Jesus in the vulnerable place. I mean, he knew that Jesus had been baptized and the Spirit had come down and filled him, and the Father's voice had said such wonderful things. I mean, Jesus had to be at a high place as he came up out of the water and he went into the desert place. Jesus was at his very highest, and Satan had to know that. Satan knows when we're on the mountaintop. He knows when it just seems like everything's going well for us and we maybe don't have a whole lot to be upset about or worry about. But Satan also knew that Jesus was very vulnerable at that place, or he believed that he was. He now knew that Jesus was hungry and exhausted in the wilderness place, weakened physically. That always weakens us spiritually. He also knew that Jesus was fully human. He knew somehow something that we can't understand about heaven and about the Godhead, about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and what it had to be like for Jesus to be sent to the earth and take on the flesh of a man. He had to have incredible insight about that. He knew who Jesus was. He even knew where and how Jesus could be tempted. However, I just want to say on the other side that he was limited there. He could not control Jesus. He could not force Jesus to sin. And he cannot force you or I to choose to sin either, because sin is always a choice that we have. Satan also has limited time. As we looked at briefly in Revelation chapter 12, his time is coming to an end. But he also has limited time in the earth. And this is not just from this story, but I read a bunch of stories this week in scriptures. And in every one of them, Satan is limited in his time frame. He came and he went to tempt Jesus. After he attempted him in the 40 days, he left him to come back for a more opportune time. Satan, I believe, although it doesn't say it, but I read between the lines, Satan did his best. I don't know how exhausted he was after 40 days, but he could not get Jesus to give in. And he left him. I got to come back another time for a more opportune time. I just think of a story very briefly, not the main story today, but when Jesus said, Satan, get behind me, so you do not know the things of God. Somehow, Jesus perceived Satan right there in Peter's heart and his words tempting him. Jesus was tempted. It says that. I know the theological debate, could have Jesus sinned? That's a different question. But Satan kept coming to Jesus. He came to him at Gethsemane. He came to him at the cross. Who knows how many other places in time he came to Jesus to tempt him. And he'll do the same to us. If Satan believed that he could cause Jesus to sin, the Son of God, what do you think he thinks about us, me and you? What do you think he thinks his chances are with humanity? If he was bold enough, which is my next point, the boldness of Satan, that he would try to tempt the Son of God to sin, what about you and what about me? Do you realize today that Satan is after you? Do you realize today that in your life, in your circumstances, whatever you're doing, wherever you're at, Satan is coming after you? There's nobody that Satan is not bold enough to try to catch. He can go right to the core of your belief system. He can go right to the attack on your faith and your doubts. He can attack your values. He can attack your self-control. He can attack your mind. He can attack your pain. He can attack your pride. He can attack where your needs are. He is very bold. He has some power, and he is willing to use it anywhere he can to get you and to get me. He is very persistent, very persistent. He's always lurking, prowling around, the scripture says. He won't give up until God finally closes time. When God closes time, Satan is finished. He's also, I want to describe, use a word, opportunistic. He is opportunistic. When you are not alert and paying attention, he will plant whatever he can in your heart and your mind to draw you away from God. That's his first objective, is to draw you away from God. He has other objectives that are far long-term consequences, but his first objective is to draw you away from God. He wanted Jesus just to give in a little bit. I mean, what's a big deal about changing rocks into bread? The man was hungry. Anything wrong with that? I just kind of wonder, well, what was so bad about it? Jesus, far more perceptive than I am, understood something that Satan was wanting to just get a hook, pull him and draw him in. He twists, he turns, he's opportunistic. I said earlier about how Hollywood portrays Satan as a fiery, horns, spears, hateful, all that kind of stuff. But the truth is that Satan appears to our hearts and our minds and our souls and our lives more often than not as a description in the Bible calls the angel of light. If you're looking for an angry, hostile, fire-breathing voice coming at you, Satan, to cause you to be tempted to sin, I doubt it's going to happen. I wouldn't say it's not possible. But what I do see is the quiet, drawing, lying, deceptive voice of what often seems to be better, hotter, gooder, more desirable, whatever you want to call it. the most daring, sympathetic with my hurts and my problems and my pain, and so I can plant those walls up in your heart and your life, Satan can, because he doesn't do it saying, you know what, I want to destroy you and your marriage. Satan doesn't come to us and say, I really want to wreck every relationship in your life with a bad attitude in your heart. No, he doesn't say it like that. He says, you deserve it. It's your right. You've been wronged by other people. You have a right to hold on to those feelings, and you have a right to be angry. You have a right to hold it against them, even if it's very quiet. You have a right. Satan says, I believe, is the angel of light in so many areas of our lives. You know that pain in your life that God did not keep you from? You have a right to hold on to that against God. You have a right to believe whatever you want to about God, because you don't have to accept what God allowed in your life. That's not God's voice. That's not the Holy Spirit. That is the enemy of your soul who wants to take your pain and destroy you with it. Somewhere along the line, we have got to stand up and say, I see what that is, and I'm going to call it what it is. God, help me with it. God, deliver me from the temptation. If it's lust, if it's lust of the eyes, if it's sexual temptation, because we're sexual beings and God made us this great gift and marvelous thing, but outside of God's plan, it destroys. It breaks. Pain. Oftentimes we're left with situations when we're not sure what to do and what's the best thing to do because there's no good options. Satan just loves to tie us all up with good things. Satan is such an angel of light. He twists, he deceives, he makes it look good to our eyes. He can make anything look attractive. He can make sins of the flesh or sins of the attitude or sins of the heart. He can justify them for you. If you're looking to be justified in knowing that you're wrong but choosing to go past that line, he can justify it for you. There is nothing out there that Satan can't justify for you to do if it draws you away from God. There's always, always a reason why Satan will tell you it's okay. He's the father of lies. He doesn't often tell the truth about his intentions. He likes to tell you what you want to hear, in part at least. He tried it with Jesus, and he didn't get very far with Jesus. Oh my. He hit a real brick wall on that one. Temptation is a part of life. I don't want to glorify temptation today. I don't want to glorify humanity and the choices that we have to make, because it is a part of life. It's a part of our humanity. Somehow, and again, I'm not sure how, God made us in his own image, and I don't quite understand how that all works together, but I know that God created us with the ability to choose, and until time is over, we will continue to have those choices. Always. Let me say it again. I said it before. Sin is always a choice. I have hated the statement all my preaching life, the devil made me do it. The devil doesn't make you do anything. But I tell you, the devil will take you to the edge of the door every time, and he will give you a push if you let him. But he will not make you go across that door unless you choose to. So the best thing to do if and when you sin and you fall and you fail is to call it exactly what it is. I sinned. God, forgive me. Help me to see truth the way that you do. You always have a choice. But we also know about temptation. The promise is that we always have an escape. We always have an escape. Jesus did. Jesus was amazing how he handled it. And we do too. Jesus understands our need. He understands our struggle. He understands that it's hard and that we're challenged by it, and the enemy is after us. Listen to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. That's a powerful verse. I don't understand how Jesus can relate to every one of our temptations, but the Bible tells us that He can. Somehow when He went to the cross and He hung there and all the sins were laid on Him, somehow He understood temptation. He understood every part of it. Then the verse goes on to say, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You see, Jesus was able to stand up to it. He knows our needs and He can help us too. On one hand, Jesus can help you. And on the other hand, you have to choose to stand up to it. James chapter 4, it was up just a moment ago. Go back to that one, would you please? James chapter 4, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Boy, that's a beautiful, beautiful scripture. Give yourself to God. Give him to God again. Say, God, you know who I am and where I'm at. Resist the devil. Call him who he is. Call that little voice that wants to justify what you know in your heart is not right. It's not holy. It's not pure. Attitudes, lust, pride, anger, unforgiveness, all those things are gossip, all those things. Resist the devil and call it what it is. It's wrong and it's sin and it separates us from God. Resist the devil. And here's another promise about the devil, the scriptures, and he will flee from you. He will flee from you. There's something about truth. You know, when Jesus quoted the scripture, Satan had nothing more to say. He just tried to go on to another temptation. Verse 4, it is written, man does not live on bread alone. Satan just didn't stand there and try to keep convincing him. He went on to another. The devil led him, and then it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The devil led him. There's something about standing up to the devil that's okay for you and I to do. I said about Hollywood and how we perceive the devil. We should understand he has a lot of power, but it's limited. And God gives us far more because Jesus is far stronger than the devil. I mean, when it comes to personal strength, we may be down here and Satan may seem like he's hanging right here. But I'll tell you, God's way up here. So if we do what God tells us to do when we're tempted and when we struggle, we know that He's going to take our hand and bring us through and help us greatly, mightily. How thankful I am for that. Be prepared. Be prepared for temptation in your life. Know it's coming. Know it's here. In fact, you probably, most of you, probably if I would say, okay, go into the closet and think about this and write down where you're tempted. Most of you, if not all, could identify something probably pretty quickly, whether it's internal or external, what it is. Satan wants to get you. The next picture's not very pleasant, so I'm just going to warn you ahead of time. Temptation, no, the one after this, I'm sorry. Temptation will come your way. Temptation will come your way. Satan will put it out there on a carrot stick or whatever, you know. He'll put it out there. And if he can get you to follow it, he'll start reeling it. A little bit more away from God, away from truth, away from absolute truth. Till finally he's got you. The next picture isn't so pleasant. Every person has a weakness. What's your weakness? Good devotions for all of us to have. Say, God, help me to see clear what my weakness is so I know how to give that to you better. Satan has a hook for each person. Maybe many hooks. Jesus overcame temptation. He called it what it was. He embraced truth. And he overcame it by truth. And he can help us too. Two more scriptures today. One in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Very powerful about how we deal with temptation. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. If you would go back to that first half. I just want to focus on that first. I wish the verse stopped at the first line. No temptation has seized you. But I know, and you know probably, that that's not true. Because we struggle with temptation. Different times, different intensities, different ways. God says you're going to have temptation. But then he says, except what is common to man. He reminds us that we're not alone, that we're not going through life, and we're the only ones that feel the way we do. I know I've heard it described by people, and I hear that. Nobody can know what I feel. Nobody knows the pressure I'm in. Nobody knows how bad I've been hurt. Nobody knows how disappointed I am with God. I want to say lovingly, in a correcting way, that is not true. Two things. Mankind struggles with temptation. But mankind has to make a choice. What do I do with it? How am I going to handle it? The second part of that, and God is faithful. Remind you that God is faithful in your temptation, in your struggle. He won't let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. I thought about that. What does that mean? He'll take you out of it before you sin? No, that's not what it's saying. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But you have to make the choice. He will not take your self-will from you. You have got to choose to say, God, I ask you to deliver me out of this. There's something about the need for faith that's very evident in temptation. You need faith in order to overcome temptation. The second part of that scripture. Now, would you go on to that, please? Thank you. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. That verse all comes together there. Notice, when you are tempted. It doesn't say, but if you are tempted, not at all. It says, when you are tempted, he also will provide. Every temptation you have, God provides an escape for. That should help us. I think part of the ability to say no to temptation is to catch it right on early on and call it what it is and know what it is and call out the name of Jesus. God, help me with this today. I'm sinking. I'm falling, I'm drawing, I don't know what to do. But if you wait, and you wait, and you wait, and you nurture it, and you milk it, you feel sorry for yourself, you don't put up the parameters that are healthy for you, you don't do the things you need to so that that temptation doesn't draw you in, then you're right there. But he will provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. I'm thankful today that God can help us when we are tempted and when we struggle. Would you stand with me? One more scripture that I also want you to see today. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want you to know today that when you struggle, or when you fall into temptation? Jesus prayed about that in Gethsemane. He said, watch and pray that you don't fall into temptation. But when it happens, I want you to know that Jesus paid the price for sin. And the cross is a powerful response to Satan about temptation. So Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain, but he washes white as snow. So there's really two parts of the sermon. The first 98% and the last 2%. I want you to know that God offers his mercy and his forgiveness and his grace. When we fall, when we fall into temptation, then what we do is call out to the loving Heavenly Father. Say, God, I'm wrong, I've sinned, and I'm sorry. I ask you to forgive me. And this is his promise. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your truth about temptation and about the power of God to overcome it in our lives. Lord God, you know where Satan is trying to hook us and draw us and distract us and pull us away from a loving God. You know where Satan has his hooks aimed at us, his fiery darts. But God, I pray that we would be sober and aware and watchful. And Lord God, we would give it to you as soon as we sense that and feel that. That we'll say, I know that's from Satan. I know that's not from the Spirit of God. God, come and help me. Help me to stand up to it and resist it and walk away from it. And God, help us to know that you know and you hear our prayers wherever we're at, I pray. Thank you, God, for your love. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the story and the example of Jesus. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being here today.